Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John chapter 6, and we are focusing on verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." You may be seated. Well, whether you bake your own or whether you get it from any variety of store, it's an important question. Where do you store your bread? How many of you store it in like a common bread box? Anybody? Show of hands. Really? I love it. They're still around. I love it. All right. How many of you just kind of flip it on the counter and just leave it there? You know, just, all right, good. How many of you do what we do? We put it in the microwave. Right? Because there's these little tiny things called ants that really like love that bread, and I've had to get rid of some of them because, you know, you left on the counter and next thing they're swarming all over and you don't want to do it. But one of our favorite places is the freezer. Anybody throw bread in the freezer? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because it even if it's way past the due date, you know that you can just get out a piece, thaw it, and eat it, right? Now, where you keep your bread is actually very important because, just like I told the kids, you don't want it to get moldy. You don't want it to get stale or hard as a rock. You want to eat it. In other words, you want this bread to last. So, today we are beginning a three-week series called I Am the Bread, and this is based on Jesus' Bread of Life discourse, as recorded in John chapter 6, in which Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." But Jesus didn't say this in a vacuum. No, it kind of is helpful to see the context of where Jesus actually said this. And he said this to the crowds, the same crowds that he had fed 5,000 men, that didn't include in those number the women and children, he fed them as well, thousands of people with just five loaves of bread and two fish. Wow. And then there was even leftovers. He gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And then he said to his disciples, "Go across the other side of the Sea of Tiberias. I'm going to dismiss the crowds." And so we did, and he caught up with them walking on the water. And then he got into the boat, they landed on the other side, and then the crowds, they were like, "Where is he? I mean, we saw his disciples leave, but how, you know, where is he?" So they actually went along the coastal route, right along the coast of the Sea of Tiberias, and they found him finally on the other side. And they're like, "Rabbi, when did you get here? We've been looking for you." And you want to know why? Because they wanted more bread. Oh, yeah. They wanted more of this bread that Jesus had given to them. Even if they had to do the works of God in order to get this bread, they wanted to fill their bellies with the bread that he had given them. Now, it seems on the surface to be a reasonable request, but actually there were some other reasons why they were so insistent that Jesus be the one to give this bread to. First one is that these were crowds in Capernaum. This was a kind of a mixture of the high and low of society, but in reality, they were often unruly. Things were tough. Times were hard, and to prevent them from pretty much rioting all over the place, the kings would ride by every now and then and throw free grain, throw free food out to them in order to placate them and kind of keep them at bay. So that is why these crowds wanted to force Jesus to be their king, because he was handing out free bread all over the place here. But there was a second reason and a much deeper reason here. It said that Jesus had fed these crowds in the wilderness just as our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Could it be? Could it be that Jesus was actually the prophet that Moses had promised? And if this was the prophet he had promised, oh, he's going to give us a lot more than just free bread. This is why they seek Jesus so earnestly. This is why they want the bread from him. This is why they want to fill their bellies with this bread. And yet Jesus turns to them and warns them. I wouldn't be seeking this kind of bread from me. I mean, sure, I could dole out this kind of bread in spades till your stomachs were bursting. But see, this bread doesn't really satisfy. And this bread doesn't really last. Jesus' warning is also for you and for me as well. Are you seeking bread? Are you seeking food to fill your lives with? Even if you have to strive for it, work for it, struggle for it, but that in the end, it does not last. I came across a story from Reverend Dr. Janet Hunt, who is a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. She was driving a friend of hers to an appointment, and it was very quiet in the car because she was driving her friend to another chemotherapy session because she had a very rare form of cancer, and it didn't look good. They were driving in silence until her friend suddenly broke the silence with these words. I only wish. And Janet kind of braced herself for what was coming next. And here's what her friend said. I only wish that I had not worried so much about money, about getting possessions and the things of this life. And that was it. But it really hit hard for Janet later on, after her friend, months later, had passed away from cancer, and she witnessed her friend's children emptying her house of all of her belongings and putting them in various piles, smaller ones for the kids, but the biggest one by far was a ton of stuff stacked high that was destined for the dump. What food are you seeking? Is it money? Is it wealth? Is it possessions? Are you trying to get the good things of this world and just fill your lives with it? Maybe. Is it acceptance? Is it approval? Are you looking for others to, you know, just love you, to validate you so that you'll feel good about yourself? Is that the food that you're seeking? Are you seeking power? Are you seeking control? Because if only I could be in control of everything in my life, then I would be satisfied, then I would be happy. Is it health? Is it making sure that your body is healthy to the point that you're neglecting everything else just so you can be healthy and avoiding everything else? Is it relationships? Is it that special person that if they are gone, that's it? Life is meaningless without them. What food are you seeking to fill your life with? Could be anything, right? Could be anything. And are you working for it? Are you struggling for it? Are you running ragged trying to make it happen? And if you can't make it happen, are you praying to Jesus, please, Jesus, give me this bread. I need this bread because if I don't have it, I'll die. Do you have enough faith to make it happen? Look, Jesus, look how much I believe in you, so give me this bread. And when you do have your lives filled with these things, does it last? Or is it never enough? You keep stuffing, and it just doesn't last at all. You're never satisfied. In fact, in the end, this food that you seek spoils and perishes right before your eyes. But Jesus mentions another bread that he provides that doesn't perish but endures. And it's not just mere bread from heaven that lands on the ground and you eat it. This is the true bread from heaven. This is not a bread that you fill your bellies with and yet it can never sustain your life forever. No, this is the bread that gives eternal life. And the crowds say to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The bread that Jesus gives is himself, the one sent from God to give life to the world. The bread that Jesus himself gives is his righteousness. He gives it to you and to me, where we don't have to work, we don't have to struggle, we don't have to be doing any works of God in order to get God to love us, to fill our lives with good things. No, it is freely given on account of Christ, freely given to you. This bread that Jesus gives is his forgiveness of our sin. Every single time we do this to God and say, "Nope, don't need you. I'm going to go fill my life with everything here." Yes, because of Jesus and his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, he forgives all of that too. He gives us the bread of his grace, of his mercy, of his love, his comfort, and it will always last. You know, when we seek to fill our lives with the food of this world, of this life, money and approval and comfort and health and relationships and power and all of that, and yet it doesn't last, Jesus provides a feast of food that will always last. A feast that he provides when he comes down from heaven and goes right to the cross and to the empty tomb for you and for me. It's a feast of food that fills our lives and our souls with his salvation, his grace, his peace, always and forever. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is simply fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 2, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." So, brothers and sisters in Christ, come. Come to Jesus, the bread of life. Believe in him, the one that God has sent. And you will never go hungry. And you will never thirst again. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Are we eating food that continues to fail and disappoint and let us down? Come to Jesus and partake of his grace, mercy, and peace that will never let you down. Are you and I drinking the things of this world that, yes, they're good. Yes, they do satisfy initially. But in the end, they don't continue. They don't go on. Believe in Jesus, and he will fill you with the living water of his word of promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always. I forgive your sin. Are you seeking food that perishes? I invite you to trust that you already have Jesus, the bread of life, in your baptism, in his word of promise, in his supper. It lasts forever. So, we have to admit, no matter how hard we try to keep the bread that we purchase or make fresh and lasting as long as we can, you know what? We're going to be throwing out a lot of loaves of bread, aren't we? But there is one bread that doesn't need to be stored in a bread box or in the microwave or even in the freezer to last. No, it's Jesus. The true bread from heaven, the bread of life. He is food that lasts. Amen.